Do you ever get in those moods where you just want to sing sometimes? If you lived in my household, that's what you'd be doing most of the time, is singing, which is okay by me. My wife playing the piano, Jalen's screaming her lungs out, and me just smiling and enjoying the time. It's always a good time to hear that. Well, it's good to be in here tonight. Young people, I'll remind you real quick, after the services tonight, do not take off. I want you to stay in here. Sean Mowry's up here and be going from our lesson right into your game time. I hope you guys have had a good time with that this year. It's an experiment that we're doing, and going okay, Sean? From what I can tell in here, you guys are having a lot of fun with that, so keep on doing that. Well, I've already said it's good to be here. I hope so. Well, last week we dove into the book of Genesis. As you all know, that I've been going through this with our young people the past several weeks, learning about the life of Joseph, and I've been real excited to see the changes take place, not only in the life of these men here in this chapter, but the change that I've seen in these young people. There is one particular person in here. Normally, I'll spend a good 5 to 10 minutes going over review time with them and just going over from previous lessons, you know, week after week after week. And the week before we came up here, I kid you not, we had a young lady amongst our midst who went for 10 minutes, it seemed like, gave the whole entire review. And it just surprised me. I was shocked. And it was it's neat to see our young people grow. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to see growth, but take a step back because you'll see it. And I was real encouraged with this particular young person. And our teens are growing. So keep them in your prayers because they really need it. I'd also like for you to remember me in your prayers this Friday night. I've had the privilege. I just got a phone call today. And I was asked to speak at a youth rally in Omaha. And I've never done this before. And I was telling Q, I hate to say no. Because I hate to see myself being robbed of a blessing from God. And I love doing it. So I'm looking forward to that time. So just remember me in your prayers that night. It's Friday night over in Bellevue. So I'd appreciate that. Well, if you have your Bibles, which I know you do, we're going to go to the book of Genesis chapter 43. I'm not going to ask you to stand tonight because I got a wide area that I'm going to cover tonight in approximately 3 chapters worth, and I hate to have you stand up for the whole 3 chapters, which I'm not going to read, but just got a lot to go forward here. Before we begin, let's have a word of prayer and just ask God to, first of all, to clear our minds of any distractions that are around us. Ask God to, if there's anything within us that needs to be forgiven, say a little quiet prayer as I'm praying aloud and get those sins forgiven so that we can have total focus upon the Word of God tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for Your Word. Lord, how precious it is to us, Lord. We just thank You for all the words that are in here, Lord, how they're all God-inspired. Lord, we just thank You for preserving Your Word through these many, many years, Lord, the lives that were literally sacrificed to keep this Word pure. And I just thank You so much for this, Lord. Lord, we ask tonight that You would speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. Help us to be challenged from Your Word. Lord, we ask tonight that, as was just mentioned, Lord, that You just clear our mind of any distractions, Lord. Help us to put our whole entire focus upon You tonight, Lord. Because, Lord, You truly deserve our focus. You deserve our praises. Lord, we just ask that You to continue to be with our pastor, Lord, as they come home tomorrow. Lord, You just give them the strength and safety as they travel. Lord, I just thank You for everybody that's here tonight, Lord. It's come out and come here to hear Your Word. Lord, I pray that You just put a special blessing upon everybody in here tonight. We ask You these things in Your name, amen. Well, in the book of Genesis chapter 43, and I'm going to begin to read a few verses and talk a little bit and go back in some more scripture and talk a little bit and see what God has in store for us today. I will not keep you long tonight, I promise you that. We'll get you out here at a rather good time, 8:30. Sounds good. And Sue says amen. And Sue gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning to go to work.
Not tomorrow.
Not tomorrow. She's off. you heard it from her. Well, anyway, let's begin reading here in verse number 1. It says, "And the famine was sore in the land." Now, as we heard, read last week, they had 7 great years of crop. Now, after the 7 great years of crop, the famine was set in the land. And we see that Joseph's brothers began to be in starvation. And they began to be in need of food. So they had to go down to the land of Egypt. And they did so, and they got their food. Well, now we go back in here in verse number 1. It says, "And the famine was sore in the land." It was so great in the land. It was going everywhere. "And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said to them, 'Go again, buy us a little food.'" So they ate up everything they had, you know, with all their brothers, all their wives, all their children, and they ate everything up. Now they begin to be in want of some more food, and they had to go back down again to the land of Egypt to get their food. And it says in verse number 3, "And Judah spake unto them, saying, 'The man did solemnly protest unto us.'" When they're talking about the man here, they're talking about Joseph. Judah's talking about his brother Joseph, which he doesn't know is his brother at this time. "The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, 'Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you.'" Now, the brother that they're talking about, as we learned last week, is Benjamin. Joseph was longing to see his younger brother Benjamin. We learned last week the test that he put his brothers through with some intense questioning whether or not his brother or his father was still alive. And he yearned to see his brother and wanted to see him so badly. And we see here it says, "Saying, 'Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you.'" So he had a desire to see his brother. "If thou wilt send our brother," verse number 4, "with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, 'Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you.'" So now, these brothers here are realizing the importance of bringing their younger brother with him. They understood the sternness in Joseph's voice when this was said to him. And so they took this very seriously. But at the same time, they were skeptical of doing this thing because of what their father, Jacob, said to them earlier on in chapter 41 and chapter 42. So verse number 5, it says, "But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, 'Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you.' And Israel said, 'Wherefore dealt ye so ill?'" Now, Israel here, they're talking about Jacob. As you see back in earlier chapters, when Jacob had his moment with God, Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord broke the hollow of Jacob's thigh. And once that took place, a new name was given to Jacob, and that name was Israel. So when they're talking about Israel here, they're talking about Jacob. "And Israel said, 'Wherefore dealt ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother?'" So we see here that Joseph, as I just said, had a desire, was very passionate about seeing his brother. Not only about seeing his brother, but he wanted to see his father as well. Everybody, especially a young boy, desires the attention of a father. A young boy wants the approval of a father. I can remember many, many times growing up in my life seeking the approval of my father, seeking to be around my father. And I believe Joseph wanted this as well, and he missed out on this. Because from the age of 17 up until the age right now, he did not have this in his life. And so he's looking forward to this time, and he's wanting this time. And he's wanting to see his father see him and what God has done in his life. He's wanting his father to see what a man he's become. And so he can look back and look at Joseph and say, "I'm proud of the things that you've accomplished, son." And so he has this desire, he has this passion within him, not only to see his brother, but his father. But it says here, if they were to come down here again without their brother Benjamin, he said, "You would not see my face." So basically he's saying, hey, don't return without your brother. I want him here. And you will bring him here. This is what he's saying here. So Joseph was stern. Because I believe he knew his father didn't want Benjamin to travel. Because of the heartache, as I said last week, that he went through many, many years with Joseph, at this point in time, is still dead to his father and to his brothers. And so he knew the heartache that his father was going through. So he had to be stern about this. And basically say, hey, if you come down and let your brother, you're not going to get any food. You're wasting your trip here. And if you want to have some food here, bring your brother. And so he meant business with him. He wasn't playing around with him. He wasn't telling him a joke. He meant business with him. And sometimes, folks, we got to mean some business. And not joke around about some things and show some sternness, you know, especially when it comes to talking about Jesus Christ. We got to be stern on the things that we stand on. And we got to let people know that we mean business and things of that nature. But we see here in verse number 30, I'm going to jump down chapter 43. I'm going to pick it up in verse number 38. And it says, "And they answered, thy servant, our father, is in good health. He is yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made obedience. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son." So now he was able to lay eyes upon his brother that he yearned to see so desperately, that he had a desire, had a passion within to see him. And he saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother?" Now he hasn't seen him for 20 to 21 years at this point in time. A lot of people go through some changes within those 20-some years, physical changes. We see of stories nowadays where a child has been missing for 20 years, and they'll do a computerized look of what the person is supposed to look like at this age. And so there's a lot of physical changes there. And he says, "Is this thy younger brother of whom ye spake unto me?" And he said, "God be gracious unto thee, my son." And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother. And he sought where to weep. So his bowels began to yearn. And the emotions that were coming over Joseph were just overwhelming to him. He was trying to look for a place to go and to hide so that he can have this private time of weeping. And so these men would not see the tears flow down from his face. After all, he was the governor of the land, wasn't he? And if these men were to see the governor of the land to start crying and to start weeping, they think, "Wow, what a wimp!" And so he had to seek a place to go and hide and to weep. And his bowels yearned, he saw where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. So he had some time of weeping. He had some time of crying. This is what he's been looking for. This is what he's been longing for. And he was gracious and excited to see his brother, and he began to cry. And this is how we get from time to time. Something excites us so much, we can't keep our emotions back, and tears begin to flow forth. And sometimes those tears are tears of mourning. Sometimes those tears are tears of happiness. And I can remember on several occasions, my wife, she would begin to cry and because she's happy. And my daughter would say, "Mom, why are you so sad?" She goes, "No, honey, these are tears of happiness." And so there's different types of emotion here. But he went into his chamber and he wept there. And it says in verse number 31, "And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself." Now, why did he wash his face? Well, normally when some person is crying so heavily, you can tell on their face. It shows, especially with women when they wear makeup. You know, the makeup begins to run, and so they got to go in there and wash their face. Now, you saying, "Chad, was Joseph wearing makeup?" No, I wasn't saying that. He went in there to cleanse his face, to make it fresh once again, to make it look refreshed to them so that they wouldn't see any type of discomfort in him. And so he washed his face and refrained himself, and he said, "Set on bread." And they set on for him by himself and for them by themselves and for the Egyptians which did eat with them by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread of the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Now, so we see here that his bowels yearned. He went out and he wept and came back in. Now they're going to have a dinner here. I'm going to jump down to chapter 43 and verse number 32. We see here And they set on him for by himself. I'm sorry, I'm in the same place. And he set on for himself and for them by believers and for the Egyptians which did eat with them by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. So we still see here at this point in time, even after he has laid his eyes upon Benjamin and the rest of his brothers, we still see here that the one thing that sticks out to me about Joseph is his identity is still not known. His brothers still have no clue who he is. They still think that he is a full-blooded Egyptian. And so his identity is still closed to them. It's still a secret to them. And then they sit down and they begin to have bread with one another, which is an uncommon thing to do with the Egyptian and the Hebrews. They did not partake together. So we see this in verse number 33, and it says, "And they sat before them, the firstborn, according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth, all the way down to Benjamin. And the man marveled one another." Basically, man, I cannot believe what's going on here. I cannot believe that this is taking place. "And he took and set messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drunk and were merry with him." He blessed Benjamin far more than his other brothers were even blessed. And that's the type of love I see that he has here for this particular brother here. And so he blessed him five times more. So then we go down to chapter 44. I told you we got a lot to cover tonight because I want to get through here. And verse number 1, I'm going to read. And it says, "And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, Fill the man's sacks with food as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth." Now, Joseph, in verse number 2, he's going to come up with a plan. And that plan is to put a silver cup in Benjamin's sack. And there's a purpose for this. So, verse number 2, it says, "And put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest and his corn, and his corn money. And he did according to the word that Joseph has spoken here." Do you see the power that Joseph has over these people? I mean, you think about it. Anything that he asked, anything that he spoke, anything that he wanted was done for him. And he had tremendous power. He sabotaged his own brother. So he told his men to go, "Hey, go plant this in here. I'm going to sabotage my brothers here." And they did so. And you notice here that they didn't say, "I don't think so." Oh, they said, "Okay, we'll do this here." In verse number 3, it says, "As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said unto the steward, Up, follow after the men. And when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, Wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Is not this it? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, whereby indeed he divineth ye have done evil in so doing?" So he planted this silver cup in here for a particular reason. Now these men, they pack everything together. They get a good night's rest so they can feel refreshed for the morning. They probably feed their horses and their camels the night before so they can have a good day of travel as well. And they get ready to take off. And all of a sudden, here comes Joseph. "Hey, steward, I want you to go out there and I want you to..." He's saying here, "Go get my silver cup." Well, who's got the silver cup? Benjamin's got it. So we see here that he begins to go after them and comes upon his men, and some things take place here. And Joseph's idea was, once they got the man with the silver cup, which was Benjamin, he wanted this man to come back with him. And you see a protest, if we're to read the rest of this chapter here, by his brothers. You see his brothers begin to offer themselves into slavery for him so that their brother's Benjamin life would be spared. Now, why would they do such a thing? Because they remembered the words of their father. Their father could not stand the thought of losing another son by his beloved wife, Rebecca. He could not stand or bear the thought, just the thought of hearing about it could possibly set this man into an early grave. And so these brothers knew the heartache that they put on their father for 20 to 21 years of his life. And they've lived with this guilt. And their father has not known anything about this because they couldn't keep the secret. You know, we all got secrets, don't we? We all got a secret that we don't like to tell people, and we try to keep these things in here. Well, their guilt began to build up with inside them, and take us, spare my brother so that he can go back to his father. And after hearing of this thing, of what took place here, I'm going to pick it up in verse number 19 and 44. It says, "My Lord asked the servant, saying, Have you a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead. And he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou sayest unto thy servants, Bring him down unto me, that I may set my eyes upon him. We said unto my Lord, The lad cannot leave his father, for he should leave his father would die." So this is one of the reasons why his brothers begin to offer themselves. And verse number 23, it says, "Thou sayest unto thy servants, Except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up upon thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, Go again and buy us a little food. And we said, We cannot go down if our youngest brother be with us. Then we will go down, for we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, You know that my wife bare me two sons, and the one went out for me. And I said, Surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not thence. And if he take this also from me, and mischief befall him, he shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave." Now you begin to understand why his brothers begin to offer themselves instead of him. They didn't want to bring this pain upon his father. "Now therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life. It shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die, and thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servants, our father, with sorrow to the grave." So now we hear the story of how this is going to be troubling to Jacob. Now we see here what begins to happen. Joseph's plan begins to backfire. His plan begins to backfire in him. He planted a silver cup in Benjamin's sack. His brothers plead with him not to keep him, for if they returned without Benjamin, their father would die. So his plan begins to backfire. Now we're going to see something in chapter 45, in verse number 1. It says, "Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried." This was beginning to, as it festered up with them about their guilt, about their brother Joseph. This very thing was beginning to fester up with Joseph, and he could not keep it in no longer. "And he cried, caused every man to go out from me, and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brother, I am Joseph." He reveals himself to them. I can just imagine the looks on their faces. How they probably thought to themselves, I thought you were dead. How could this be? I thought you died years ago. I could just imagine their dark faces that the sun beat down on them day in and day out, being out in the field. I can just imagine their dark faces being pale as can be. For seeing Joseph, for finally for who he truly was. And he says, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" Now that he's seen Benjamin, he wants to see his father. "Doth yet my father live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. They were baffled. They couldn't understand what was going on. They probably thought that they were seeing a ghost here. And they're speechless. Have you ever been in a place, in a situation where you've just been completely speechless? And I believe we all have at times, at a lot of times. So we see that after hearing all this, Joseph reveals his identity to them and shows them for who he was. And some amazing things yet have to take place with this story. And Joseph said unto his brother, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Do you remember how you sold me into Egypt, boys? Do you remember the incident that took place that day? You know what I see here? I see a man here that forgave. He was a man that was willing to forgive his brothers. These are situations that we find ourselves in too often where we can hold a grudge and not forgive. But Joseph found it within himself to forgive. And I believe that he forgave a long, long time ago. I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved. He said, hey, don't be grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve your life. For these 2 years hath a famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be hearing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a prosperity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. He's saying here, don't fret, boys. It's okay. God had a plan for me. And I'm okay with this plan because God has preserved my life, and He preserved my life so that I can preserve your life. And he was excited about this. And then Pharaoh, he hears of this news and is excited for Joseph. Now he wants his family to come down and live amongst them. So then we jump down to chapter 46. And we see here a thing that's taken place is what I've entitled this lesson tonight is a family reunion. Now, the family reunion isn't complete until the head of the household comes. And so we see here a family reunion is about to take place with the brothers and the father, and how they can be present together once again, and so they can have the fellowship, they can have a relationship once again that they have lost out on these 20 to 21 years of their life. And you can never get back that time. And you can't live in the past, but you got to live in the present. And be excited what God has given you here. So we see here in chapter 46, and I'm going to begin to pick up in verse number 26. All the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins, besides Jacob's sons' wives, all the souls were 86. And the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were 2 souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen, and they came into the land of Goshen. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him. Here we see an emotional reunion between a father and a son. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. I can only imagine the relief that Jacob is feeling at this point in time. To once see a son that he hasn't seen for 20 to 21 years, who he thought was dead, who he grieved and who he mourned for until this very day, until he's seen him. The emotion that's outpouring on this man is, I can't begin to understand or fathom this whole situation. But it says he wept on his neck a good while. Now, what was a good while? It could have been 5 minutes, could have been 10 minutes, it could have been a day. You don't know back then. But he did it for a good while. He was excited. Now, these were tears of excitement coming out from here. In Israel, verse number 30, which is Jacob, and Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die. Let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. It was okay for Jacob to die at this point in time, because he was able to see his son. He was able to see what he became. He was able to see the man that he raised for those 17 years. He was able to see the accomplishments that he did in his life. He was proud of this very moment. He had peace within himself. That's why he was able to say, let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. And Joseph said unto his brother and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh, and say unto him, my brother and my father's house, which are in the land of Canaan, are come up unto me. So now we see this family reunion take place. Now, after all the heartache, all the sorrow that they have gone through these 20-some years of their life, it can all be forgotten. They can live and rejoice in the time that they have together until God takes them home. What an exciting story this is. To be able to have a family that you love and you desire to be around with, to grow with, to have a fellowship with, and this is what they longed for. And they were able to come back once again, despite the things that took place in their life. As I said last week, Joseph was able to rise above his circumstances. And for him to be able to rise above his circumstances brought him to this point. Now his brothers and his father were able to sit back and watch their son and watch their brother govern the land with Pharaoh. What an exciting story. What an amazing story this is here that God has given us. And hopefully you've learned some more from this, and God has blessed your heart through this. And